Where there is great love, there are always miracles. What is this, A Course in Miracles or something like that? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, bringing you thought for today. Where there is great love, there are always miracles. Where do the miracles come from? We wonder about that. Where do the miracles come from? Are the miracles caused by our thought? Are the miracles caused by somebody else's thought? Are the miracles there because there's a God somewhere that likes us and wants to give us little gifts now and then? Are the miracles because our daddy likes us and gives us presents? Or our mommy? You know, a lot of times we wonder, why do some children receive a lot of presents and other children not receive a lot of presents? Why is it that some children receive a lot of presents and other children do not receive a lot of presents? And it has nothing to do with the wealth of the family. Some children receive a lot of presents and other children do not receive a lot of presents. I can say that again and again. Children who receive presents have the consciousness of abundance. They have the consciousness of worthiness. They have the consciousness of attracting, not attracting, but creating, creating the world, delighting in saying how much it loves itself by sharing with the child. Mm-hmm. Now, a little child who is bubbly and giggly and loving gets a lot of bubbling and giggling and loving from everybody else. Everybody wants to come and snuggle that kid. Another kid is owly and growly, and nobody wants to be near him. They turn their backs on the kid, and they'll, you know, face another direction and talk. They won't look at the kid, because they don't want that in their consciousness any more than they can help it, yet that's what they created. Now this kid, from this cradle on, has decided how he wants to get his work done in life. He wants to either be a jerk, he wants to either be miserable and unhappy and make everybody else miserable and unhappy, or he wants to be happy and joyous, and he wants to make everybody in this world happy and joyous. He wants to create them that way. He wants to create the world showering him with blessings, showering him with miracles and love and joy. And so he recognizes, before anyone ever tells him, that a happy countenance will bring great dividends. Now we say, where there is great love, there are always miracles. Do you think that the child who is unhappy or growly and owly, do you think that he has great love? Certainly he does. He has great love. But you might say he has a great misdirected love. What is a misdirected love? What does that mean? How can love be misdirected? Well, there is only good in this universe. There's only love in this universe. There's only joy and harmony and peace. And I guess you'd say a misdirected love would be like saying, okay, here is love. Now, it cannot be described this way, but we'll describe it anyhow. Here's love. It is in this dimension. It has, you know, 4 inches high, 8 inches long, 2 inches deep. You know, that's love. Okay, so we can do anything we want. So love has that dimension, and I may change it as I go along, as I repeat it. And as love has this dimension, you come along and you say, I like love. I think love's great. So you take a bite out of it. So now you have a mouthful of love. But you're not all love. You're just a mouthful of it. You're just a little bit. Now, If you were wise, you would take all that love and make it yours totally. You would bring it into yourself totally. But you just took a part of it. Now, you say, how can you ever take a part of love? Well, for our discussion purposes, you can. For our discussion purposes, you can take a little bit of love. Not unconditional love, not the universal total love. Hey, stop and think about it. Some of you people are kind of silly people. You take sexual love. You take fatherly love, or motherly love, or brotherly love. You take love for humanity. You take love for animals. And you think, I don't love those snakes. You know? But you do. But you love them just a teensy-weensy little bit. Not enough to make them want to be near you. So, you see, we do really cut up love like this. The fact is you can't, but we pretend we can. We pretend that we can misuse love, that we can only use a little bit of it. We love the dogs, but we don't love the snakes, you know what I mean? And yeah, you can't do that because we love everything. We love the dogs and the snakes and anything, everything. It doesn't matter. And we love them 100%. Now, what does that mean? That we love these things 100%. What does that mean? That means that there's not a little love and a lot of love. Love is like your divinity. You're not a little bit of God or a lot of God. You're all of God. You're all of love. You're all of whatever it is. Okay. Now, when does love start being a useful commodity in our life? Well, at first we use it for manipulation. We use it to try to get our own way, to wrap people around our finger and try to control them. And then later, we find that if we do that, we have to keep on doing that. So then we just say, no, heck, I love them unconditionally. And so you say to a little boy, whose dog is that? Oh, it's my dog. Do you love him? Sure. Do you love him like he loves you? I guess so. You know how he loves you? He wags his tail and he's happy when I'm there. Well, no. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you when you're there. He loves you when you're not there. He loves you when you take him for a walk. He loves you when you don't take him for a walk. He loves you when you take him out so he can go potty. And he loves you when he has to go potty so terribly that you don't even take him out because you don't even think about it. You don't even remember him. But he loves you anyhow. He loves you anyhow, even if he has to make a mess in the house because he can't get out to do his duty. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He has no, oh, that damn kid, he didn't take me out. You know, dogs don't do that. They don't know how to do that. They're total love. They just love, 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 love. And they'll protect you from everything, even though you're not worth of being protected, you know. You're being a very naughty, naughty person, and then they'll protect you from people that you were naughty with, you know, that they want to hurt you. The dog is just always a lover on your side. Your dog is your dog. Your dog is unconditional love, is a beautiful expression of your divine love. Now, that's a miracle, isn't it? That's really a miracle. But stop and think. That dog doesn't know how to condition love. He doesn't know how to give a little bit of love because you do it. You do it. You say, huh, if you don't want to stand here, huh, go away, you know. If you don't want to let me pet you, then go away. I don't care about you, you know. But he always cares about you. Now, why doesn't he want you to let him pet him? Why is it that that is there? Well, because he senses that there is a little unhappiness somewhere. And when he senses that unhappiness, then he backs away. And you say, well, is that why little love backs away when you reach down to pet him sometimes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. At some point in his life that we may know about, or may not know about more readily, someone was reaching down and swatting him and hitting him not a lot, but just enough to make him skittish, to make him back off. So then he backs off with everybody. He doesn't know he doesn't have to. He'll get in your arms, and once he's in your arms, he just mellows out. But in the process of getting in your arms, his ears are laid back like he's not sure what's going to come next. Now, Button, on the other hand, totally different. You reach for Button, he comes, puts his nose right in your hand. He comes and loves. He knows all he is love. All he knows is love. Now, little love is learning that. But somewhere along the line, he missed the directions a little bit. But he'll find him. He'll find him. He'll find that miracle that he is. Because from time to time, he has it. Now, why is it that when Ingeborg goes out into her garage and leaves the lights on all night long there, why is it that she goes out and the black cat comes right to her, just loves to be near her, follow her wherever she goes? Why is that? Well, Ingeborg likes things that are abandoned. She likes things that are cast off. She likes things that are the underdog. And so whenever Ingeborg gets with her cat, it's like two underdogs being together. And she feels that she's an underdog, and so she loves to be with an underdog. Now, you say, why would Ingeborg ever feel that she's an underdog? Well, this is part of her training, part of her bringing up, part of her life. She's never gotten over the fact that she's not an underdog. Somewhere along the line in her life, she was told that she is an underdog, and that's an attitude she's taken. So then she hides away, she goes away to be with all the underdogs, those who are abandoned. Oh, you'd love to go to the kennel down there, the Humane Society, and see all those poor little puppies looking up at you. They don't let me out of this cage. They don't let me out of this cage. They keep me in here. And they probably keep them in there until someone picks them up and says they want to take them, or until they put them to sleep. Now, they put to sleep dozens of dogs every week because there's just no home for them. There's no place for them. There's no people for them. And people have abandoned them, and there's nothing they can do. Nothing they can do. They certainly aren't in the business of feeding dogs and having a whole zoo filled with pets that were abandoned. Because pets are abandoned quite often because when people realize they have to take care of pets, then they start abandoning them. And it's usually the mothers that do it, because the children want to have the pet. And the mother says, you can have the pet if you'll take care of him. Oh, yes, I'll take care of him. I'll do this. And then a day later, taking care of the pet is long forgotten. Now, I bought 6 fish, and I have them in a pond in front of my house. And they're just happy as can be. And twice a day, I go out and give them food according to the directions. Now, when I'm on seminar tour, gone for weeks or months at a time, will anyone be feeding those fish?
Yes.
And will they remember every single day to do it twice a day?
Yes.
And will they give them just a little bit, not too much, but just enough so that the food will be pleasant for them and they'll be fed properly? Well, now, you see, this is something that you have to think about and something that you have to concern yourself with. With love, the great love, where there is great love, there are always miracles. And the miracle is that the fish will survive. The miracle is that the puppies will find a home where they can grow up and feel security and feel wanted and feel that everybody in the family wants them. And you see, this is what really happens. This is what really happens. We saw a show on the video the other day. And the big dog was always at the father's side, and the father would reach down just unconsciously to pet the dog. Well, when I think the angel visited the house, he was sitting in his chair, and the angel reached down, and of course the dog immediately came over to the angel. recognizing that this fellow is something special. And the master reached down to pet the dog that was always by his side, and he wasn't there, and he was over by that angel. Yeah. And you see, this unconscious acceptance, this unconscious need for the animal, the unconscious need to share and to enjoy it, it's not always recognized for what it is, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Where there is great love, there are always miracles. Now you say, well, Herb, those aren't such great miracles. I would like you to recognize and appreciate these small miracles first. And when you do, then you'll begin to advance to great miracles. Because I would say all of you are partially blind, if not totally blind, because you write in your blessing book every day, you say, two or three things that happened to you during the day which were rather spectacular. And if you were to ever go back and read over those things, you would find that almost every day you had some great miracle taking place, some great event that took place which was totally different than it had ever happened before, in a beautiful way. Something that left a great mark on you. And you say, well, I didn't realize it at the time. Of course not. It's so natural. When a great mark is made on us, it's so natural. It's not something we shout about, guess what, I'm healed, you know. A great mark is not being healed. A great mark is being whole. And when you're whole, you don't think about it, you don't know it, you just are it. Now that's really a miracle, and that is a miracle that only an observer can be aware of. You can't be aware of that, because you are on the inside, and you're experiencing this wholeness, and you don't know that you ever were not whole. You don't appreciate that. Oh, you may force yourself to appreciate it by having relatives tell you that you had problems, but the thing is, you personally don't need to know it. If you were to remember all of your childhood, and all of the things that you went through, the only reason that you remember many of the things that you remember is because you were told it by your relatives or your mother or father or your sisters and brothers. Otherwise, you don't remember it. You don't remember it all. My sister May brought up all sorts of things about our relationship and the things that we had done together and things that we did. I didn't remember any of it. I didn't have recall on any of it. But then I remember that she had said that I remembered it at some time. And so then I remember that she said that I remembered. But I didn't actually remember, because we don't. Because the miracle of life is that we are given the blessing of not remembering all the wonderful things that happened to us. Because if we were to remember all the wonderful things that were happening to us, we would just be ecstatic all the time. And we would not be seeking anything, because we know we have it. We'd not be wanting anything, because we know we are it. It's a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. So consider, where there is great love, there are always miracles. The puppy dog that loves its master unconditionally, that's a miracle. Now why does he love his master? Because his master gives him attention and takes care of him. Why would a baby love its mother or father? Because the mother and father give them attention and take care of them. Would the baby love a nanny or anybody else? Sure, same way. Just as much as the mother and father, without any more regard to them than the mother and father. Because the mother and father doesn't mean a thing. This is a role that they must impress upon the children, that I am your father, I am your mother. And otherwise, the children have no concern about it whatsoever. And humanity doesn't either. Except that we make a Father's Day so that we can sell more product, and Mother's Day sell more product. Christmas sell more product, you know. It's not a matter of respecting the father and mother. And then take a secretary out to lunch day, you know. Well, I think it'd be better if they didn't, you know. If they just let their secretaries alone, just say, have a nice day today, it's Secretary Day. You know, that's enough. But the closer the relationships are that we have with our staff or our secretaries, the more problems that we create for them and for us. It's better to love them at a distance and love them unconditionally always. That's a wonderful thing. Where there's great love, there are always miracles. So I suggest that you start doing the one thing that you have refrained from doing up to now. Start loving yourself. And as you start loving yourself, you will find that the miracles were there all along, but you hadn't opened your eyes to see them. So now, open your eyes and look at yourself and say, yeah, I like me. Have a wonderful day. Have wonderful thoughts. And remember, you're the boss. I like me. I like me. I like me. I love you. I love you. I love you.